You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. This is going to be a quick national update episode. I think we all know the news of the day in NBA circles. Kyrie Irving traded to Boston for a package led by Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, but most notably the 2018 first-round pick unprotected of the Brooklyn Nets. And everyone wants to know, when you have a trade like that that's that big of a deal on the NBA landscape, how does it affect my team? And with the Rockets, there's been a lot thrown out over the last month plus of the Carmelo Anthony negotiations, a lot of talk that maybe the Kyrie Irving sweepstakes or why the Knicks hit the pause button or were a possible reason for the deal being delayed. I never really bought into that, as I explained if you listened to my podcast a month ago, but seeing the return that Cleveland got for Kyrie Irving makes me more convinced of that than ever. And so I've seen a lot of talk over the last few hours since the Kyrie Irving news broke, first reported by Shams Charania of The Vertical, about, well, does this move the Knicks-Rockets any closer? The good news, if you want to look at it that way, it certainly doesn't hurt. The bad news, I don't think it really helps either or expedite the timetable. So I'm going to look at it from both angles, but I'm going to start, you know, breaking down all angles of this trade as it impacts the Rockets. Not directly, of course, because both Cleveland and Boston are Eastern Conference teams, not Western. So I guess if you want to look at it one way, it's good that finally a big star in the trade market did not go to the Western Conference. Finally, someone went traded to another team in the East, so you can take some consolation there. But really, it's not going to change the balance of power as far as the Rockets are concerned directly. The impact for the Rockets, of course, is on the potential negotiations between Houston and New York for Carmelo Anthony, which we all know have been going on for almost 2 months now, really ever since Chris Paul decided full well that the Rockets were where he was going to go in late June. And of course, a long relationship exists between Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony. So as far as the Houston link, the upside is that, folks, Cleveland is certainly no more appealing to Carmelo today than they were yesterday. I saw some people asking, well, does it change the perspective of Carmelo's no-trade list? Because at one time, Houston and Cleveland were both supposed to be on that list. Now, I never bought into that, but that's what some reports said if you go well back to late June. And I definitely don't see this changing that. Just from a strict basketball perspective, Kyrie Irving is a much better player than Isaiah Thomas. I know Isaiah Thomas can score a lot of points, but Kyrie Irving is a more well-balanced player. He has more upside. He's younger. And then on top of that, Isaiah Thomas is coming off a substantial hip injury to the point where they're not even sure he's going to be ready for opening night this year. They're going to have another scan in September, and that's going to determine whether he's ready to go for training camp and for the season that begins in October. So it's not even a given that Isaiah is ready to go. If you're looking at this from a Cleveland perspective, it's a decent trade for them, but the reason it's a decent trade is because of that 2018 Brooklyn pick. That is the asset. Isaiah Thomas, he's a terrible defender. His contract expires after this season. He's going to want the max, and Cleveland, likely without LeBron James, is not going to want to rebuild around Isaiah Thomas making over $30 million per season. I don't see any franchise other than maybe the Sacramento Kings types that are just desperate to get anyone to say yes, being willing to pay Isaiah Thomas what he thinks he's worth, which is the max. So when you look at that, Isaiah Thomas, it's a short-term band-aid for Cleveland. It helps because when you combine a weak Eastern Conference with the presence of LeBron James, in theory, that can keep you afloat in the 2017-2018 season, and that might be enough to get you to the finals, and then maybe you catch lightning in a bottle. I don't know. It helps you in terms of rebuilding some goodwill with LeBron, and maybe long-term, that gives you a better avenue to convince him to stay. But the point is, he is not the asset in this trade. The asset in this trade is the unprotected Brooklyn pick. That's why they did that trade, either for a future without LeBron or to potentially use as a trade chip next summer to convince LeBron to stay. Or I guess it could also be done at the trade deadline. But the point is, Isaiah Thomas is not the point of that trade. If he was, the Celtics would have done it a long time ago and at a lower cost than giving up that pick, which could be Michael Porter Jr., Marvin Bagley, just a number of elite prospects. So Isaiah Thomas is not going to make the Cavaliers more attractive for Carmelo Anthony. I do think it's a good trade for the Cavaliers, but it's a good trade for the Cavaliers because of what might come down the line when you use that Brooklyn pick either to draft someone like Michael Porter Jr. or to trade for someone down the line. It does not make their short-term future any more attractive for Carmelo Anthony. In fact, it probably makes it less attractive. The trade is a win for Cleveland, but it does not make them a better team in 2017, and I highly doubt that the difference between Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas, again, almost everyone considers Kyrie Irving to be the better player, also younger, more upside, is going to be enough to get Carmelo to open up his thinking to include Cleveland. The second part of this, of course, even if he were, the other part of this reaction that's laughable, I've seen a few people asking, well, what if Cleveland were to trade that pick for Carmelo? Because, as I said, it is a possibility that to encourage LeBron to stay, they could use that pick as a trade chip. Yes, Cleveland could do that. It's not going to be for Carmelo Anthony. That's absolutely silly. As I said last month, when folks were wondering if Kyrie's trade request would be, you know, kind of greasing the wheels for Kyrie to go to New York and Carmelo to Cleveland, part of the problem was that Carmelo wouldn't go to Cleveland. But the other part of it, it made no sense for Cleveland to trade an asset like Kyrie Irving for a package headlined by a 33-year-old declining Carmelo Anthony. I think a lot of folks are kind of have a misguided sense of where Carmelo Anthony's value is. Yes, people want him in Houston, especially when the cost is as low as Ryan Anderson and a few spare parts that aren't in the rotation. But folks, he's 33 years old, his defense isn't good, his athleticism is slipping, he had a PER of below 18 last year, and he's due $54 million over the next 2 years. Now, given Houston's situation, yes, I think he would be ideal in Houston as a third banana where he wouldn't really be asked to play to his weaknesses, which of course is trying to be a number one option. That's when he gets inefficient. He would also have Chris Paul and James Harden to keep him in check. Mike D'Antoni with a small ball four like that that can space the floor, he's a magician. So there are reasons to believe that in Houston as a third banana that it can be worthwhile. But on the whole, is Carmelo Anthony a good trade asset? No, he's not. Even without the no-trade clause, there are substantial reasons to be pessimistic on his future in the next year or so. That's why he wasn't in play for Kyrie Irving from the Cavaliers. It made no sense for Cleveland, as I said last month. And that's why it makes even less sense involving the 2018 first-round pick from the Brooklyn Nets. Folks, that asset, potentially Michael Porter Jr., is as valuable as there is in the NBA. Now, it's not guaranteed, of course, that Brooklyn's going to be, say, the number one or number two pick in the draft to get Porter or Bagley. Maybe Brooklyn improves a little bit this year, and even if they don't, there's still the draft lottery, so you can't guarantee anything. But the point is, in today's NBA, with the Warriors setting the bar so incredibly ridiculously high for the next 3 or 4 years, and the Rockets aren't very far behind them, it's incredibly difficult to compete over the near term. So most rebuilding plans around the league are prioritizing more year four, year five, trying to be the team after the Warriors, after this current super team finally begins to fade or break up, whatever it may be. So when you look at it in that context, there is nothing more valuable than a guy, an 18 or 19-year-old kid like Michael Porter, who essentially is going to hit his prime 3 or 4 years from now and, of course, still be under club control. That pick is about as valuable as it gets. Because keep in mind, most picks that get traded, you kind of diminish the trade value when they get traded for a star. Because let's say, I don't know, let's use New York as an example. And it was rumored that maybe they'd trade a future pick for Kyrie Irving. Well, the problem with that, if they trade their own future pick for Kyrie, then Cleveland knows that by trading them Kyrie, they are diminishing the value of that pick because New York's going to become a much better team with Kyrie Irving. The Brooklyn pick is the rarest of rare exceptions in that not only is it a huge asset, but you can acquire it if you're another team without diminishing the value of it. You can give substantial value to the Cavaliers, or in this case, to Boston, and it doesn't diminish the expected return of it because Brooklyn, the team who the pick is based on, it's Brooklyn's pick based on their record, doesn't improve any through the deal. That is the most rare of commodities. It is incredibly valuable. It was enough to get a 25-year-old Kyrie Irving. The best analogy I can come up with is this. I don't think there's any doubt that 2018 Brooklyn pick is more marketable than Kevin Love. Kevin Love is approaching 30. He's on a max deal. I think it's pretty clear that even as a number two, I don't know if he's good enough for you to contend. In any era, especially this era with the Warriors. He's probably an ideal third banana. Now, I'd still take him in Houston, of course, as that third banana, same role as Carmelo, but that's beside the point. Quality player, but there's no doubt that that 2018 Brooklyn pick is a better asset than Kevin Love. Well, folks, the Cavaliers were not even willing to trade Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony. It's been reported over and over again, not just this summer, but back during the year, that the Knicks had tried to engage the Cavaliers on Carmelo for Kevin Love. The Cavs rejected him every time. And I think for a lot of Houston fans, there's kind of just some misgivings about Carmelo based on either his name or the fact that he's likely to be in Houston. I'm with you. I want him here. I do think he would help the Rockets. But let's not act like Carmelo Anthony is an NBA superstar at this point. He's not. His name is, but his production isn't. Now, he can still be a good fit in Houston because of the dynamics around him, most notably James Harden and Chris Paul. But as far as his trade value, folks, Carmelo Anthony wasn't even enough to get Kevin Love, a maxed out Kevin Love. So he's certainly not going to be enough to get a 2018 first-round pick. I think what Cleveland does, it's not a given that they keep that pick, although they certainly could keep it and use either Porter, Bagley, someone like that, as their cornerstone to build around should LeBron James leave next summer. But I think if Cleveland decides to move that pick, they either wait to the deadline or next summer, and that pick becomes essentially what Kevin Love was back in 2014. And of course, Love had more value back in 2014. He was younger and seemingly had more untapped potential on some bad teams in Minnesota. And back then, if you think of, or I should say the pick is what Andrew Wiggins was back in 2014. Wiggins was dealt for Kevin Love. And the point is, the untapped potential of that number one pick, be it you keep him yourself or you can trade him for the biggest star on the market, in that case Cleveland did the latter, dealt him for Love, that was a big part of why LeBron James saw Cleveland as the most desirable situation in 2014. So I think that's what they're trying to do again. So could they trade it now? Sure, if someone unexpected comes on the market, they could definitely do it, because I think Cleveland would certainly love to keep LeBron. He might be the greatest player in the history of the sport. I don't think that they are completely giving up on him leaving until he actually does on July 1st, July 2nd, 2018, whatever that is. But the point is, folks, they have had plenty of opportunities over and over and over again to trade for Carmelo Anthony, and just like the rest of the league, they have not. So it comes down to value, and they don't even value him enough to give up Kevin Love or a substantial package of any decent return, and yet the idea is still out there on Twitter that, well, maybe now that they have this 2018 pick, potentially to deal for a star, that it's going to be Carmelo Anthony. That makes no sense at all. That pick for Cleveland is gold. That Brooklyn pick is either the cornerstone of their next rebuilding effort, or it's a star in the prime of his career that you can use to legitimately convince LeBron James to stay. If Carmelo Anthony was that guy, they would have traded for Carmelo Anthony a long time ago. The reality, he's not that guy. He's 33 years old. His athleticism is slipping. Excuse me. His defense, it's not good. His PER is below 18. He can still be good in certain situations, especially in Houston, third banana. Ryan Anderson, the only rotation player going out. I'm not crapping on Carmelo. He can still be very good in the right situation. But in terms of a building block, he is not. That Brooklyn pick, that is a building block. And given the dynamics of the NBA, the fact that the next 3 or 4 years, the bar seems almost unfathomably high to the point where almost no team can reasonably get there. That commodity is as good as it gets. You are not going to trade that commodity for Carmelo Anthony the same way you were not going to trade Kyrie Irving for Carmelo Anthony. It never made any sense. So that's the bottom line on this. There's no real negative to this for the Rockets. Yes, Cleveland looks different today than they did yesterday, but they're not more attractive than Carmelo because the big piece they got was that 2018 pick, and that's not going to make them a better team this season, which is what it's about for a 33-year-old Carmelo Anthony. Kyrie Irving is a better player than Isaiah Thomas, and he knows that. This is not going to open up Cleveland as a destination for him or make them be any more desirable. And on the flip side, that 2018 pick, which is the focal point of the deal, is far too valuable to trade for Carmelo Anthony the same way that Kyrie Irving does. So either way you want to look at it, this does not hurt the Rockets. Cleveland is not in play for Carmelo, be it from an attractiveness standpoint to Carmelo, or having the assets to trade for him or being willing to offer a package that the Rockets and other teams simply can't match. This does not hurt the Rockets, And I'm pretty confident that the dynamics are the same today as they were before that. Now, the negative part, as I said leading off, is that I also don't think it helps. I've seen some folks saying on Twitter that, well, now that the Kyrie domino has fallen, that maybe the Knicks are going to be more willing to move Carmelo, knowing that they can't get Kyrie. I don't buy that. As I said almost a month ago when news of Kyrie Irving's trade request first broke, I believe on July 21st, folks, it never made sense for that to be the deal, and I don't think the Knicks ever in their wildest dreams thought that Carmelo Anthony would be the focal point of a legitimate trade that Cleveland would accept for Kyrie Irving. Kyrie is 25 years old. He's a superstar. He's in the prime of his career. He signed for a max contract under the old system below $20 million per season, signed for at least two more years, possibly three. That is gold on the current market. That is an incredible asset. And I don't think the Knicks ever thought they'd be in the game with Carmelo as the main trade piece. Because again, Carmelo in Cleveland, that's not something new. This has gone on, it was earlier this season, and it was even rumored last season, going back to 2015-2016. This has been in play for a while, and it's been pretty clear that the Cavaliers do not value Carmelo Anthony that highly. Spoiler, a lot of teams around the league don't. As evidenced by they wouldn't even move Kevin Love for him, let alone Kyrie Irving. So for the Knicks, I don't think their negotiations have been held up by this at all, because for the Knicks, the only way they could even compete with that Boston package, including the 2018 pick, would be to offer up Kristaps Porzingis, and it seems they were unwilling to do that. So from the Knicks' standpoint, it's always been a question of Porzingis. It's never been a question of Carmelo. So the Knicks being on Kyrie's list and being interested in him and them also looking to trade Carmelo, I know on the surface it seems like they might be related, but when you combine the Cavaliers' asking price, the presence of Carmelo's no-trade clause, etc., there's never been a relationship there. So I don't think the Rockets-Knicks trade has been held up by New York fantasizing over, well, maybe they would trade Kyrie for Carmelo. Folks, I think it's pretty clear that the Kyrie Irving, given the dynamics of his contract, that was never a realistic scenario in any sense. So I don't buy that the Knicks front office is just hoping blindly against hope that you would go from talking about deals like the Boston trade or any that we've heard, including, you know, Phoenix, for example. It was rumored about Eric Bledsoe, Josh Jackson, all these future assets they have. You don't go from that to Carmelo Anthony, which is the complete other end of the spectrum. Not young, a 33-year-old, that doesn't make any sense. And the flip side, if you're the Knicks, for those wanting more evidence, there's a reason the Knicks were so far at the two-yard line, according to the Frank Cazzola report of the New York Daily News, in talks with the Rockets involving either Ryan Anderson or whatever Ryan Anderson would fetch from a third and fourth team. You don't go from that to Kyrie Irving. The Knicks weren't just talking those types of deals and then, oh, wait, now we can get Kyrie. No, the Knicks never thought that. Now, there were a lot of fans that thought that, because there are a lot of fans, especially fans that aren't that informed, they can kind of have wishful thinking, be homers, whatever you want to call it. And so, yeah, there was a lot of fan-driven momentum amongst New York, and New York also has a high percentage of bandwagon fans, I would note, that think that maybe Carmelo should get that because he is a big name, and at one point he had major value in the landscape, but that point is not August 2017. So I don't buy that the Knicks and Rockets talks were held up by the Knicks waiting around to see what happened with Kyrie Irving. That was never reasonable, and they knew it. The key for the Knicks was whether they would move Kristaps Porzingis, which they wouldn't, and they knew the answer to that all along. So the fact that the Knicks were destination for Kyrie, according to Kyrie's wish list, and Carmelo being on the trade block and at one point having Cleveland on his list, I know at face value, superficially, it seems like there might be a link there, but when you look at the particulars, it never made any sense. So that's why I don't think that this, you know, moves the deal any closer to fruition for the Rockets. The other thing, from a timing standpoint, I've always said that really it takes deadlines to spur action. And if you've heard Daryl Morey's various interviews this summer, including his podcast last week with Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, that's what he said over and over again. And he hasn't said it particularly about this case. Of course, he can't do that because Carmelo's not his property, and so everything has to be hush-hush. But deadlines spur action in the NBA. And in this case, the deadline, as I've maintained for a while with Carmelo Anthony, the Knicks, and the Rockets, is the onset of training camp. It doesn't matter to Carmelo if he gets traded before then. All that matters to him is training camp. For the Knicks, when the consequences start to get real for them is if he reports to training camp, and if you have this giant distraction, this chemistry mess, that cloud hanging over you, the negatives for Carmelo, the Knicks, everyone that you can come up with, there's all this discussion of who has the most to lose, et cetera, et cetera. All of that kicks in once training camp starts. Before then, it doesn't matter for anyone. So there's no real incentive to get a deal done until September. Now, it's always possible that the Knicks could decide before then that, hey, this is the best we're going to get. But since there's no harm in waiting, why not wait and see if anyone blinks first, see if some other team comes to the table, because situations can change. So I can understand what they're doing. But the flip side, folks say, well, this deal got done in August. Well, folks, it's because clearly Cleveland got what they were wanting. If you look around the league, the vast majority of analysts think that this was a win for Cleveland, and it probably was, even if it's a short-term loss on the court, because I do think Kyrie Irving's a better player than Isaiah Thomas. And as I said earlier, with Isaiah's hip injury, it's not even clear that he's going to be ready for this coming season. At the same time, because of the value of a 2018 first from Brooklyn, overall, that's probably a really good deal for Cleveland considering the circumstances, especially if you compare it to the likes of the Paul George and Jimmy Butler trades back in late June. So it's a good deal for Cleveland overall, but it's good for Cleveland overall, even if it's not on the short term. And so because of that, yes, if you have a deal that good, you will pull the trigger in August, because what happens if Boston, for whatever reason, decides to walk away or decides to offer that same package for some other star? If you feel like that you're getting the best deal that you are ever going to get, then yes, you will move in August. But it's pretty clear that the Knicks are not getting that for Carmelo. That's why they hit the pause button. And the flip side, because of the aforementioned issues with Carmelo, his age, declining athleticism, et cetera, and the fact that because of the no-trade clause, he has all the leverage. The Knicks are kind of behind the eight ball, so to speak. And of course, Carmelo's likelihood of opting in next summer makes it even worse for them from a cap perspective. There's no reason for the Rockets to really give a lot more from an asset standpoint to the Knicks. So if you're looking at it from the Knicks, who are selling the asset, Carmelo, in this deal, yes, they probably have to do it at some point, but they are certainly not being overwhelmed by the Rockets the same way that Cleveland may have been by Boston. Boston had the assets to move it to the table right now and get a deal done. Now, it's not that Houston doesn't have any assets. It's that they're just simply not worth giving up for a 33-year-old Carmelo Anthony. Daryl Morey is a smart guy. He is as good as it gets in terms of value proposition around the NBA. And so that's one of these situations. Again, I know folks want to make an analogy because Kyrie and Carmelo are two big names, but in reality, these are very, very different players in very different circumstances. For Boston, he may become their best player immediately. He's also 25 years old, substantially better player than Carmelo right now. It makes sense for Boston to even overpay a little bit to get this deal done and get Kyrie Irving on your roster and start building around him, Gordon Hayward, the rest of that core they have there. For Houston, with Chris Paul, James Harden already in place, according to most analysts, the second-best roster in the entire NBA after Golden State, adding a 33-year-old Carmelo Anthony, there is no reason to panic and just give up more assets right now to get a deal done, especially when, again, Carmelo has a no-trade clause, Kyrie Irving doesn't. That's another reason why Boston may have felt they had to push their chips to the table, because if they didn't, then Cleveland could conceivably trade Kyrie anywhere else in the NBA because his consent was irrelevant. No trade clause signed for multiple years. With Carmelo, player option after next year, and the no trade clause, it's not like he can just go anywhere else. It's not like the Knicks can just trade him to any other team tomorrow. The Rockets know that. So that's why the situations are different in terms of Houston not making the aggressive move now that Boston did. Part of it's leverage, part of it's Kyrie being a better player than Carmelo. But the flip side, because there's no incentive for the Rockets to give that kind of value, there's also no incentive for the Knicks to wrap up this deal in August. So again, I know these are two big names, and at one point, especially with the Knicks allegedly being on Kyrie's wish list and Carmelo or Cleveland being on Carmelo's before that, it seemed like these two situations were, you know, kind of tied together. But if you look at the substance of it, they never were. So that's where I'll wrap up this podcast. Again, it's a big deal for the NBA. Certainly, it could have some wide implications down the road for both Cleveland and Boston, especially Cleveland in terms of deals they might can make months or even a year from now, close to a year from now, next June or July, when the LeBron's 2018 sweepstakes come to a head. But right now, I don't think it has any impact on Carmelo Anthony. And in some ways, that's positive, because I've seen some folks asking if it makes Cleveland more attractive to Carmelo, or if that 2018 pick can be an asset for him. I think it's pretty clear that that's not the case. So I think the dynamics are exactly what they were before, which is that Carmelo wants to go to Houston. The strong likelihood is that ultimately a deal gets done, but it may take deadline pressure, i.e. the onset of training camp in September, for that to happen. So that's the good news. Nothing has really changed on that front. The bad news is that I don't see it really pushing the timetable forward either. To me, these two negotiations have been and are very separate. So as much as I think we would all like to see the Carmelo Anthony deal get done and to have the Rockets in the headlines the same way the Cavs and Celtics are today with this trade, I think the odds are that we'll have to wait just a few more weeks until things get closer to training camp in September for this to ultimately conclude. Now, again, it could all change with one phone call. You never know. Perhaps the Knicks have an arbitrary deadline of their own that they don't want to let this get into September. Maybe they realize, because of the no-trade clause, that they have less leverage than anyone, and if that's true, it could all happen tomorrow. It could happen that quickly, one phone call. But from what we've seen so far, how long this has dragged out, and the Knicks' alleged willingness to be patient, waiting for the right deal, I don't think that's going to be the case. As I said from the outset, I do think that this deal is going to get done. I do think Carmelo is going to be on the roster, especially by the regular season for the Rockets, but I don't think it's any more likely to happen in late August today than it was, say, yesterday before Kyrie Irving's trade. In other words, I know it's frustrating, but status quo. So with that said, I will leave things right there. As always, appreciate you guys for tuning in. Again, I'm Ben DuBose, your host. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. This is Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets, or email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising, inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program. Also, if you haven't been checking out, I know we haven't had that many podcasts in August because it's the dead period of the NBA, or at least it was before the Kyrie Irving trade, but the NFL is heating up. Texans are about to kick off in a couple of weeks, so if you haven't checked out Locked On Texans, led by my buddy Robert Land, please do so. That's available on all the same channels that you can get Locked On Rockets: iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play. Just search for Locked On Rockets, search for Locked On Texans, and you can find all of our content, as well as any other team across the NBA or the NFL, or national shows for both of those leagues. Again, Locked On Podcast Network, great daily coverage across the NBA and the NFL. So even though it's quiet in the NBA, if you want your fill of Houston sports talk, please check out Locked On Texans as well. So with that, hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening. I hope that we'll have a lot more to talk about in the near future with Carmelo. I would be pleasantly surprised, though, if that's the case. So I hope everyone enjoys their brief NBA hiatus. Go ahead and take in some Astros games. They're home for a big three-gamer with the Washington Nationals this week. Get ready for the Texans, who have two more preseason games than the regular season. And I'll be talking with you a bit more later this week, and especially as we get to September, previewing the exact roster, other than Carmelo Anthony, of course, that the Rockets will be bringing to training camp. Again, that we know of. And then as we actually get physically closer to camp, which will start around the middle of September, my guess is that that's when the Carmelo Anthony rumors are going to get particularly hot, involving the Houston Rockets. So for now, hope everybody has a good evening, and I'll be talking with you again very soon right here on Locked On Rockets.